You're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. I'm your host, Austin Meek. On this week's show, I sit down with Paxton Dove, owner of the Dancing Bear Pub. Paxton is a longtime Wacoan whose idea for creating a conversation-stimulating watering hole has blossomed into the crux of Waco's craft beer culture. For What's Happening Here, our segment where listeners submit their questions on properties throughout the city, we dive into the proposed riverfront development and get a few words from City Councilman Dylan Meek. If you haven't already, open up your browser and follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Waco Business News. Also visit our website, wacobusinessnews.com, where we post even more content about economic happenings in Waco than we could possibly cover here on Downtown Depot. And a quick programming note. Beginning with this episode, Downtown Depot will air the first and third Friday of every month here on KWBU 103.3. So be sure to keep tuning in at 11 a.m. on the first and third Fridays. Now you're listening to Downtown Depot, and this is the word on the street. The first Friday of the month isn't only reserved for a fresh episode of Downtown Depot. It means you're also in line for a bunch of fun activities downtown. Karina Yebra helps organize First Friday Waco, a collection of 20-plus businesses that band together to bring people downtown.
This was kind of more of a traditional First Friday, where you visit all the different stops for different events, live music, free food, free drinks, and discounts at all your favorite downtown stops.
First Friday operates out of the Praetorian Building at 6th and Franklin, which is a staple on many people's First Friday routes.
We will have live music by Jackie Johnston here, as well as some deals with Interior Glow and Summer Alice Jewelry, and then Steel City Pops will be outside.
Interior Glow, the furniture company located on the first floor of the Praetorian, was one of the presenters at this week's 1 Million Cups. In case you missed our episode last week, 1 Million Cups is a free event designed to educate, engage, and connect entrepreneurs. Two businesses present at the Hippodrome every Wednesday at 9 a.m. and have a dialogue with attendees about how they can better serve their community and how their community can better support them. Interior Glow co-owner Beau Evans explained how his wife and he source unique items from both international and local artisans, making every item in their shop one of a kind. Joe Kistner, CEO of Telexis Talent Solutions, talked about his company's goal of helping organizations maximize their number one resource, the people. Waco Business News reporter Kristen Rich wrote a recap of the event, which can be found on wacobusinessnews.com. And not this Saturday, but the next, on November 12th, Balcones Distillery finally opens its doors to the public. The restoration of the old Texas Fireproof Storage Company building at 11th and Franklin is finally complete, and the award-winning distillery will begin hosting tours and tastings. Unfortunately, there are no more tickets available for next Saturday's opening. Balcones creative and merchandising director, Casey Hooper, said the company first opened up spaces for Wacoans only, the tickets of which sold out in 75 minutes, and when they put the rest available for the public, they were gone in 3 minutes flat. So enjoy those spirits if you were one of the lucky few, but if not, you can still start planning your trip to visit Waco's Whiskey King. Balcones head distiller, Jared Hemstead, actually used to work alongside Paxton Dove, owner of Dancing Bear Pub. I know you're proud of Jared and his great work at Balcones, but let's start your story in the early days, Paxton. How did you end up in Waco?
Well, I was born here in Waco. I was born in 1976. And my dad was at law school here at Baylor, and my mom was managing the McDonald's across 35 from Baylor. And I was born here, lived the first 4 years of my life here, moved to Longview, Texas, and then somehow we all returned back to Waco after 27 years, I think. I made it back to Waco.
So you didn't come back to attend Baylor?
I did attend Baylor when I came back, but it wasn't the reason I came back. I just chasing dreams. And anyway, it didn't work out. We're not together anymore. But I did find, once I got here, I applied for Baylor, got in, and got a degree in history. I did some study abroad stuff that kind of pointed me in the direction of craft beer. Drinking in Europe made a big influence on that. I've also worked at Whole Foods and been a beer buyer there, dairy buyer, assistant dairy buyer, done some other stuff there. So once I got into Baylor, finished up, my brother-in-law and sister were running Terry and Joe's Food for Thought. And so I went to work as a manager for them. And I guess it was, I don't know, probably about 3 or 4 years after I graduated, we bought the building we're in from Chip Gaines.
And oh, wow.
So, yeah, so we had a nail salon and a tanning salon where the two tenants where the Dancy Bear Pub is. And my lack of Vietnamese or proficiency in the Vietnamese language caused them to leave in the middle of the night, I'm pretty sure. I took our sinks and water heaters and moved out. And so we were without tenants. And I spent...
So what year would this have been?
Man, this was 1996. Okay. Oh, no, sorry, 2006. Yeah, sorry, 2006. No, it would be 96 because we're 9 years old. Yeah. Sorry. No, sorry, 2006. My math is awful.
I was just going to let you figure that
out. Yeah, that's fine. 2006. So we basically, me and my dad brainstormed about what to do with those two suites, whether to rent them out, put something of our own in there. We went to Colorado. Actually, we went to the Colorado or to the College World Series that summer. Baylor was in the College World Series. And then it was so hot at the College World Series, we decided to head over to Colorado instead of coming back to Texas. And so we went to Aspen and kind of played golf up and down that Roaring Fork Valley and talked about ideas for what to do with this thing. And so the idea kept coming back to craft beer and putting the pub in. And so August of 2007, construction completed. It took about a year from when we decided to do it to finishing all the construction to getting open. And we had a lot of help. Jared Hempstead was my GM back then.
So this is Jared, currently at
Balcones. Balcones. Yeah, he was my original GM. We had Van Darden, who I think is a reporter down in San Antonio, or I'm not sure exactly what he's doing now, but... His dad is Dr. Darden, who's did the gospel project and did a long project where he put together all this gospel music and I'm trying to think of the rest of the group. Greg Ryan was with us back then. Jeremy Mercer. I mean, we've gone through a bunch of people that are all. Now in different parts of the beer or spirits industry.
Yeah, so you're sort of like the Greg Popovich, and you have your coaching tree, and people are going all across the country taking what they learned here in Waco.
I hope so, yeah.
And applying that. What was the beer scene like in Waco in 2006?
Well, we all drank at Crickets. They had a mug club that was definitely the start of the craft beer scene here in Waco. They've been pouring craft beer for a long time. There was a homebrew club that was started by Chip Tate and Jared Hempstead and myself. And, we had at one point about 25 members. We did a couple of brews in the park and, gave out samples to people who were 21 and up. And, that went on for about 2 or 3 years that we had a good turnout. Even after we opened, they still met. At some point, we all got too busy with work, and a new group took it over. I think the guy that runs the homebrew store here in town is now pretty much he's running the homebrew club. There wasn't a lot available as far as liquor stores and HEB. It was, Shiner, Sierra Nevada. Dogfish Head was around, Stone was around, but that was basically the main component. We'd see some of the Austin guys every once in a while, so like Live Oak and 512 and Real Ale.
Sure.
So was it just coincidental timing that you guys opened up in 06, 07, and that's really when the craft beer mania sort of started taking over on a national scale?
That was kind of the – there wasn't really a coincidence in that. I mean, we were kind of paying attention to, like, it was really starting to blossom. People that I knew were talking about opening places, breweries down in Austin. It was really just, you know, kind of paying attention to it. There were people who didn't think that it would work here in Waco, you know, that, you know, it should be in Austin or in Dallas to do something like that. But I don't know.
Don't you love that small-minded thinking
in Waco? It's so much fun, yeah.
I hope that I get to live in Waco the rest of my life and drive 90 minutes to do something cool.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid we have any wonderful things here
yeah,
in Waco.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's kind of drives me being told I can't do something or something won't work, especially if I want it to work. So,
sure.
Yeah. And, you know, it didn't work really fast. I mean, it took a while to get going. My wife was supporting me during all that time, which was very nice of her. I mean, I think for 2 years I was basically, she was the breadwinner and I was bleeding out money trying to get the thing started. So it was nice to have some help from her. But, you know, the main thing about getting started was just going out and doing it. I mean, as far as like, you know, sitting back and wondering, is this the right step or am I gonna fail at this or whatever? I've, you know, just put it out in my mind and take that first step and start applying with the TABC. I learned right away that, you know, my proficiency at filling out forms is not where it needed to be. And so I enlisted some help from my dad's secretary, and she helped me with all the typing and filling out my forms. But the day we got our TABC permit was a pretty cool day. It was like finally, you know, there's no holding us back now. We're legal to serve, and we're ready to go do it. So, I mean, at that point, it was all right. Here we are. Let's do it. So we hit the ground running. I really started working towards, working on relationships with breweries and salespeople, and really trying to make sure that they knew that Waco was here and there was a market for craft beer here in Waco, and you know, just by continuing to purchase their products and learning about why they're making certain styles, or you know, finding out what drives their brewery, and then kind of hitting them up for those certain things that I know they're passionate about, those styles that they really like making. Those are the things I like to purchase from breweries after I get to know about it. That keeps it where I'm not trying the weirdest thing that they just made that they didn't, a beer that they don't enjoy. It's nice to have, you know, the relationship with those guys to where, you know, you're hearing about something that's coming down the pipes, literally coming down the pipes in a couple of months. And or barrels that they're sitting on that are going to be released, you know, right after Christmas, or, you know, our location kind of keeps us out of the loop on some of that stuff. But, you know, a few phone calls a week kind of cuts that distance.
So you mentioned earlier about having spent time in Europe, and that sort of planted the seed in you for starting this business. One thing that I've noticed in my European travels, particularly in Scotland and in England, is just pub culture.
Yeah.
And talk a little bit about what you were doing in Europe, maybe specific places that you went to, and also the distinction between a bar and a pub and what you guys are doing and how that's different from what something on Austin Avenue or other places in downtown might be trying to accomplish.
Sure. Well, kind of two parts there. The pub culture in Europe, you know, there's one thing that as soon as I got into it, I was traveling with a really good buddy of mine that we went to Baylor together. He lives in Houston. We spent days walking around looking at the cities that we were traveling in. We spent most of our time sleeping on the Ural cars at night and then wake up in a different city, go explore, hit the pubs, and then hit the train station before the last train and jump onto a sleeper car. So we didn't really – we stayed moving most of the time. So I got to see a lot of Europe. But the cool thing about the the pub culture is, you know, it's really kind of focused around conversation more than necessarily alcohol. It's more like a meeting hall type thing. You're going to run into somebody. If you're drinking alone, you're definitely going to have somebody come over and sit down and ask what's going on, what's the problem, who are you, where are you from, that kind of stuff. I think the Irish have it down pretty well as far as the pub scene. You could go anywhere in Europe and you'd find an ex-Irish patriot that's running an Irish pub. And I don't know, we became drawn to that kind of theme. I think there's maybe the lack of language barrier made it enticing for us. My French is from East Texas high school, and it didn't work when I got over there. Comment allez-vous didn't catch. So, it was really maybe that was the reason we kind of were drawn to the Irish pubs, but. Everywhere we went, we ended up meeting somebody. They had a great story. We chatted back and forth. I met some guys from in Spain that were from Morocco. Found out we've both been in Boy Scouts and had achieved basically the equivalent of Eagle Scout, both of us. And we sat and had a blast all night just chatting about campouts and different games we played as kids. You know, it was really cool. But so what? What I wanted to do when I opened the pub is I wanted to kind of keep a lot of those things, but also, keep that same trend of having it be conversation-focused. But I wanted to add an educational kind of twist to that with craft beer scene being as new as it was. So we did a lot of tastings, and we did a lot of, like, educational, beer discovery dinners with like actually somebody from the brewery coming out and talking them through and the reasoning behind the creation of that beer. Just kind of to like keep the conversation going for anybody visiting the pub, allow them to have their time, spend talking with their friends. But, just we've set up the back with a lot of long tables. That's brought over from the European thing, more German beer hall thing, but just to kind of create a long family style sit down and spur conversation between different people.
And it's helped by having food. You guys now have the Crazy Horse Grill that has their trailer in the back, and by highlighting Texas beers and specifically some local beers, having Bear Arms in there. Yeah. I know is an addition that a lot of locals like.
Yeah, we're glad to work with those guys. We've had them since their inception, so we usually carry at least one or two of their beers on draft at pretty much all times. We have 16 taps, and when I first started, there's a lot of people want you to dedicate a breweries and would like you to dedicate a tap for them, so they're always on at your place and people know that they can go get it there. With limited space and limited taps, I just threw that out, and I was like, I'm willing to purchase from you guys. I'd love to do business with you, but these are my taps, and I'm going to rotate and put whatever I want to put on there, and a little bit of Texas attitude, I guess. But
sure.
Not too many people were burned by it once they figured out what was going on, and they were still getting rotated in and out. As the scene's grown, though, there's 200 and something breweries here in Texas now. It would take me almost all year to rotate everybody's beers through, and I still carry some brands from out of state. Although that list is going down. I mean, it's just the
because beers. Because there's so many.
Yeah, because
good
there's
Texas
so many
beers.
Texas breweries. Yeah, the selection has gotten super diverse and has grown. I mean, it's just amazing how many breweries have come. In the last 3 or 4 years, I think we've only lost two breweries, and one was bought out by somebody else, and one is now contract brewing. So it's pretty good for Texas breweries. They're still growing. They're still popping up and opening. So who knows? There's several stories I've read about the bubble bursting on craft beer. Who knows? I mean,
You haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it. Would it with 200 something breweries, would anybody notice if the bubble? I mean, you might lose like 6 to 60 breweries, maybe. I don't. You'd still have more than we had in 2007. I mean, when we first opened, I think there were 5 breweries in Texas. So within 9 years, it's like almost, was it? I'm not good at math again, so you can you can do the math with a calculator. But impressive numbers.
I know that having enough people in a room long enough with enough alcohol always ends up making things go a little haywire. I remember reading last year in the Waco trip that there had been someone at the bar who had doused a wall in gasoline.
Yeah, that
was. What are some kooky things that have happened at the bar in your 10 years of being open?
Oh, we're kind of lucky without serving spirits, without having liquor. We're pretty toned down from and maybe insulated from some of that. But we've had homecoming. We always find a bunch of beers that we don't serve out on the back patios.
People snuck in. Rubies.
Yeah. We try not to have a line like that, but sometimes it's inevitable. We've had to ask a couple people to leave, but it's usually due to their over drinking, so or drinking somewhere else before they got there. But most problems we have are just weird, out of the blue things, such as the guy dumping gasoline on the dill. His professor works for me, and it was more of a school motivated attack. I'm not sure why I took the brunt of it, but anyway.
Well, I think that's a great testament to the pub atmosphere that you've brought. Like this, people know this isn't the place where we're just going to get hammered. Like we're going here to have intentional time and conversation and really be able to sample some things that we literally could not get anywhere else in the city.
Right. And we, we try to make it to be the same or keep that environment the same all the time. We're really lucky to have great customers and regulars that protect that. If somebody's out of line, we usually don't have to say anything. One of our regulars usually will step in and be like, another place down the road for that, and my little brother owns that, so.
You're listening to Downtown Depot on 103.3 FM KWBU. I'm speaking with Paxton Dove, owner of the Dancing Bear Pub. Paxton, when you look at the past decade of the Dancing Bear being open in Waco, of what are you most proud?
I would say the thing that makes me most proud about the Dancing Bear is, the longevity that it's had, it really hasn't changed. The core feeling when you walk in, the thing I hear back in reviews and from actual customers is that the energy is the same as it was when we opened. There's, you can walk in, it still feels like the home that a lot of people had 10 years ago. There's people that visit back, coming back through town that haven't been in years. They walk in and they're like, we haven't changed a thing. Maybe a few more signs. The beer's same. The staff is still going to have a couple suggestions based on what you have had in the past. You're still going to learn about some new beer. That's going to be something that happens almost every time. But just the fact that we've kept the same philosophy and the same kind of idea going for almost 10 years is pretty impressive. I don't know if maybe we're stubborn or what the deal is, but it's kind of it's one of the things that, a lot of people, if it's not going their way or something's changing, they want to rush to make big changes and try to adapt to work with that, with the new sales or however it's going. We haven't had to do that yet. So I'm really proud that the idea has worked and it's continued to work, and hopefully we won't have to adapt anytime soon. So
I'm sure there were a few times in those first couple of years when you were hemorrhaging money that you had some doubts.
There was definitely times when – there's still times when I doubt it every summer. Waco being seasonal with the – being this close to college, makes it tough. But, it's always plan for it, get through it. Fall's coming. Everybody's coming back. So, that's one of those things that you just have to kind of ride out and plan for.
So what's some fun stuff that we can expect to see at the pub in the next couple months?
Well, we've got several things coming up. We've got a Rochambeau competition coming up. I believe it's not this coming Wednesday, but the following Wednesday. That's November 9th, I believe. And then we've got the 12 Days of Christmas. That's coming up. We've done that. This will be our 9th year doing this. And basically we pull out a different beer that we've aged or been holding on to. Something they're usually pretty rare stuff, harder to find beers. Most of them are usually higher alcohol. Hopefully it'll be cold by December. But that's coming up. That's the 12 days leading up to the Christmas Eve. And that's always a lot of fun. Every Thursday we're still doing our glass giveaways. I wish I had brought the schedule with me, but I think this week I would be lying if I told you, but every week we do a great brewery with one of their glasses and about three of their beers, so you can come out and try some new stuff and take a glass home.
Well, and I'm very thankful for you guys, because every Tuesday night when you have trivia night, you've invited us to have the Pokios truck there, so it's fun to go in and get a drink and then come out and eat cookies and ice cream.
I have a weekly allotment of one ice cream sandwich. So I appreciate you guys coming out.
Well, we're happy to do it. Well, Paxton, I appreciate you coming on Downtown Depot. Thank you so much for talking to us about your love for Waco and craft beer.
Absolutely.
And hope you have a great week.
Okay, thank you.
Paxton is yet another example of a local person, not an entrepreneur per se, but someone involved in his community that saw a need and decided to fill it himself. Kill the imposter, that little voice inside of your head that tells you you can't do things. Get rid of it. Paxton went through growing pains with Dancing Bear. Julia and I have experienced plenty of first-time business owner issues with Pokios, but you learn from every single one of them, and you become a better business person because of it. It takes a lot of smart business people to get a $100 billion project off the ground, but that's exactly what Catalyst Urban Group and the Waco City Council aim to do at the downtown riverfront. Folks have been asking, what's happening here? With all the vacant land surrounding the Waco Farmers Market, and key details regarding price and timeline finally emerged this week. J.B. Smith of the Waco Trib gets into the nitty-gritty details in his article, which I highly suggest reading and can be found on Waco Business News' Twitter and Facebook pages. Catalyst is seeking $20 million of public funding for the project, the majority of which will go toward environmental cleanup, a parking garage, streetscape beautification along University Parks in Webster, and improvements to the Waco Downtown Farmers Market and other public spaces. City Councilman Dylan Meek, who, by the way, is no relation to me, said that the development intends to highlight one of Waco's greatest assets, the Brazos.
And the activities that occur on the river and near the river provide a lot of entertainment and enjoyment to the community. So whatever goes there, the fact that there's a city in 2016 that still owns that amount of real estate on a beautiful river in the heart of your downtown, I think it's critical that what is placed on that piece of real estate is the right project.
The Brazos Promenade will feature a mixed use of retail, residential, and public spaces. An outdoor music venue is planned, as well as a 10-story, 110-room hotel with a conference center and restaurant.
It is an opportunity for us to get really nice restaurant, retail, commercial spaces, and apartments, or multifamily housing, along the river, concentrated in downtown. It's consistent with our city plan of having a nice, dense urban core. That's walkable aesthetically and aesthetically pleasing.
Meek foresees the riverfront construction catalyzing new development throughout the downtown area and contributing to the city's goal of activating the Brazos. Big moves are being made in Waco, and you can always check Waco Business News on Twitter, Facebook, and our website for the latest developments. Thank you for tuning in to 103.3 FM KWBU. I'm your host, Austin Meek, and this has been Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.